Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, we welcome you to the NFL pregame show alongside Dylan Goldman and Eric Watkins, Stephanie Diaz, and Joshua Lord will join us next week. I'm Stephen Herr. Today is the AFC side of the wild card playoffs. We will begin by talking about the Houston Texans hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams have been very hot this season. The Chiefs started 1-5, won 10 in a row, looking for the 11th straight win, and their first playoff win since 1991. They have the second longest playoff drought in NFL history behind the Bengals, we'll put it later today. So, guys, the two teams played week one. The Chiefs won and then lost the next five, won their 11th straight. What changed with Kansas City?
Personally, it was some measure of cohesiveness. There was a little bit of chemistry established between Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin, and they seemed to have found a couple of gems at running back after the injury, and thanks to Charkandrick West and Spencer Ware filling in nicely, and once everything got together, they gelled as a team, things just took off.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of weird that when you lose your best player on offense, you all of a sudden win 10 straight, but that's exactly what Kansas City did, and Houston also got hot at the end of the year when they lost their star running back, so both teams are hot after losing their star running backs, and there's not really anything that really happened. Eric really mentioned it. It was the cohesiveness, the chemistry improved. The defense also had some injuries to start the season. They got back, and they played Detroit in London, and that's what started off. They got a very easy victory, and then that started off the entire streak. The offense is playing much better now, somehow without Jamaal Charles. I still don't get it, but Charkandrick West, Spencer Ware are both filling in very nicely for Charles. And Alex Smith is just making the right throws. He's a very consistent, he's a very easy, you know, he's not going to make the big throws, but he's going to make the short, easy throws, and that's what gets them down the field. And Jeremy Maclin is starting to come along, and Travis Kelce's a very reliable tight end target. So there really was nothing that strategically happened. No defensive strategies, offensive strategies were changed. They got some defensive players back. Justin Houston has been out for a while, but he probably will be back today. So, I mean, there's really nothing strategic that happened. Like Eric said, it was the chemistry, and Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin got going, and somehow, some way, Charkandrick West stepped up for Jamaal Charles, who's the star running back. So, Kansas City's red hot, and I'm still kind of shocked on how they do it, but they just have found a way to do it. It's pretty amazing. But coming into today, it'd be a very good game between two teams that are hot coming into the game.
Yes, both teams very hot. The Chiefs won 10 straight. The Texans close out the season 7-2 record. They are top 10 offense, while the Chiefs are top 10 defense. One person I'm looking at in this game is on the Houston side of the ball, DeAndre Hopkins. He has over 1,500 reception yards and 11 touchdowns. How did the Chiefs stop him?
Well, this is the big thing, because how do you stop a guy that's the first player in NFL history to have 400-yard receiving games with four different quarterbacks? At this point, we know that he's the main offensive weapon. Are you going to bring in a safety and help with double team? Do you just stick with one-on-one coverage and hope that your best corner can do the job? This always gets Andy Reid in a little bit of trouble. So it's interesting to see how they're going to play coverage on DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, it's pretty much almost impossible to stop him. The guy, I mean, like Eric said, he's had 100-yard games with four different quarterbacks. And mind you, some of those quarterbacks were Brandon Whedon, T.J. Yates. I mean, there were quarterbacks that you never thought, somehow Hopkins got it done. But it's really hard to stop him. I think they can try to contain him. What they have to do, really, is they have to make the running game beat them, make Alfred Blue beat them, make Brian Hoyer find other targets. whether it's they're going to rely on Marcus Peters to cover him, whether they're going to bring a couple, they're going to bring a safety, they're going to bring a linebacker. I mean, it really is going to be interesting to see how they handle the coverage, but it's really nearly impossible to stop this guy, especially considering the fact that he's had 100-yard games with four different quarterbacks, including quarterbacks that have shown that they are not very good in this league. So they're going to, it's going to be kind of hard to stop him. I don't know if you can stop him entirely. They can try to contain him, but it's going to be interesting to see how they try to stop him today.
Give me one takeaway from each team. What are you looking for during, from each team in this game?
For Houston, I'm looking if they can score because their offense has been very, has been good, but then also at times they've had to rely on their defense. So their defense is really what's been, has won them their games this year. They're going to have to rely on that defense to slow down Alex Smith. And it's with Kansas City here, going over to Kansas City. Do they keep the streak going? I mean, now they're in the playoffs. They're in Houston. They're not at home. At home has been, I mean, on the road, they've been very successful. But can they keep the streak going today? They've been red hot. I'm interested to see how they handle DeAndre Hopkins and how they try to move the ball against a very, very tough Houston Texans defense. Like I mentioned before, this Texans defense has been what the Texans have relied on. Their offense has been very shaky. As we mentioned, they had to rely on four different quarterbacks. The running game has been very iffy. So, really, to me, how does Kansas City keep winning, handling the Texans defense? How do they move the ball? And then how does Houston score? Because this Chiefs defense is also very good. So this will be a defensive matchup, I believe. And it really, if Justin Houston plays, that'll make a big difference. And if not, still the defense is very good, so I'm very interested to see how those two things play out today.
For me, the biggest takeaway is, as Dylan said, for Houston, they don't have a lot of pressure. They held on, won the South, despite their litany of injuries, their litany of struggles. How can they play the fact that the lights are a little bit bright on them at home? And can Brian Hoyer, a guy who had a short run in Cleveland, then ACL injury, and has been battling injuries all this season, can he stay healthy and get through this game to win? And on the other side of the coin, I'm going to go to Kansas City. Can they shake off the struggles of what happened in Indianapolis? Can they shake off 20 years of playoff history? They're the favorite team, and they're really somewhat of a sexy pick to make a deep run in the playoffs just because Andy Reid is due. Can Alex Smith return to that form that saw him go to the NFC Championship game in San Francisco? And can they find a variety of ways and other targets than Macklin to help win the game?
Yeah, Eric, this actually reminded me. Last time the Chiefs were in the playoffs, they had the 38-14 lead over the Colts and lost by 1 point. They're looking to avoid that today in Houston against another AFC South team in the AFC South. So which team, who wins this game and why?
I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I mean, they've been red hot. Like you mentioned, they've won 10 straight. And I know the Texans are going to have a lot of momentum. They're coming off a very strong end to the season, much like the Chiefs. But to me, I just don't think the Texans have enough offense to win a playoff game. I think the Chiefs have enough. They have a solid running game with Charcandrick West. And Alex Smith has experience in the playoffs. They have had their meltdowns. They have not won a playoff game in a while. But Smith has had experience with the 49ers. He went to the playoffs with the Chiefs a couple years ago. So this team is very experienced. They have a very experienced coach. So I'm taking the Chiefs despite that they're on the road. They've been very good on the road. I just don't think Houston has enough weapons to beat Kansas City today, despite them being at home and despite them having immense momentum coming into this playoff game.
I'm also going to pick Kansas City for similar reasons. While it's easier to slow down a guy like J.J. Watt than it is a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, Kansas City's offensive line has given Alex Smith plenty of time. He's going to go ball control offense, be less of a game manager because he has a threat in Macklin, but Charcandrick West, he's going to be a big three-down back. Spencer Ware's going to most likely get a touchdown because he's going to see a lot of carries around the goal line. Kansas City just has that little bit extra to see them through. It's probably going to be a 21-17, 21-13 type of game, and Kansas City has shown that they can win them. Houston really can't.
I'm also going with Kansas City, not because of the 10-game win streak, because the Texans are starting Brian Hoyer. Now, when Brandon Weeden took over after Hoyer got injured against New England, they held the last two opponents to just 6 points. Brian Hoyer, to me, does not seem like a playoff type of quarterback that can win in the playoffs. So with that, Kansas City wins this game, 21-13. We move on to the next game, which is the AFC North rivalry. The Bengals host the Steelers. The last time these two teams met, Andy Dalton suffered a thumb injury, and he is now out for today's game between Adrian McCarron, rookie out of Alabama, who will be under center. How big of an impact is Dalton's loss for the Bengals?
Honestly, this is why franchise quarterbacks should not attempt to make tackles. A.J. McCarron is used to bright spotlight with big-time games at Alabama, but he's still a rookie. This is his first playoff start, and with the way that Pittsburgh can get pressure with James Harrison with his old team, oddly enough still going against his old team, they're going to come up with schemes and really get in McCarron's face. And as he's shown, he can't quite handle that as well as Dalton can. So that's going to give Pittsburgh a huge advantage.
Well, certainly the impact will have a lot on this Bengals team. You know, McCarron has played very well. He's been a game manager in most of his games. He has one loss against Denver on Monday Night Football. But in most of the games, he's been simply a game manager. Tonight, is that going to work? In a playoff game, I really don't know if you can really sit around. You have to take chances sometimes. You know, McCarron has had the bright spotlight on him many times at Alabama. But Dalton, if you can remember, before he was injured, he was playing lights out. He was running the ball a little bit. He was throwing many great passes. He limited his turnovers, and he was finding a lot of targets. But with McCarron, they're starting to rely on their running game with Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill. So it has a very great impact. I'm not sure how much longer this A.J. McCarron game manager can work against a team like the Steelers who can score the ball like crazy in a playoff game. So the impact without Dalton is really, really great. I mean, they are going to miss him greatly tonight. They would need his offense. But they're not going to have him. They're going to have to find a way to beat a Pittsburgh team that's coming off a season-ending win, and they're going to have momentum, and they're going to be fired up to play in this game, adding on that it's already an AFC North rivalry. So McCarron's going to need to step up. He's going to need to be a little bit more than a game manager. So the impact without Dalton is clearly showing and will show tonight against the Steelers.
Last time, back in 2005, 10 years ago, the Steelers were a 6th seed going into the playoffs. They beat the Bengals in the wild card. Then they went to Denver in the AFC Championship game with the Denver. If they win today, they go to Denver. So history is on their side as far as the Steelers go. Can this team make a big run to Super Bowl 50?
They're really sitting at the running back spot. You know, they have Fitzgerald Toussaint starting. I don't know if D'Angelo Williams will be able to come back further in the playoffs. That'll mean a lot more for the Steelers. But they have an experienced quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. They have so many weapons. They have Antonio Brown. They have Miller. They have Martavis Bryant. They have Marcus Lee. And they have a defense that's very inconsistent, as a lot of skilled players and some veterans. And then you add in Coach Mike Tomlin, who has been he's been with them for a long time now. He's experienced. So certainly they can make a big run. They are the 6th seed, but we know, just judging by history, that means nothing. They've beaten Denver this year. They've beaten Cincinnati. Very easily they can make a big run. It just all depends on the health and their defense if they want to make that run.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've seen 6 seeds make runs of the Super Bowl. And this year, both conferences really focusing now on AFC and the Steelers. This is a team that no one really wants to face. Yes, they have weapons. Hopefully, D'Angelo Williams can come back if they win this week for the divisional round game. But Roethlisberger is just dropping back, throwing it all over the field like we've never seen before out of Pittsburgh, at least in the past 20 years. And with an offense like that that's dangerous, even if their defense is inconsistent, they can outscore almost everybody. So if they, even if they get back to full strength, Pittsburgh, they could be in line for a third ring, or at least with Roethlisberger, a third ring.
The Steelers won Super Bowl 10, played Super Bowl 30, won Super Bowl 40. We will see this year if they can make it to number 50. For the Steelers, Antonio Brown, what a receiver. This guy's been amazing all season long. How did the Bengals shut him down?
You have to find a way to slow down his speed. With not just his route running skill, but he has off-the-line explosiveness, doesn't even need to make a double move, just makes a single move, and all of a sudden, he finds a gap in his own defense, or when a corner or safety is backed off, he's open. You give him 1 or 2 feet, he'll put a spin move, and then he's turning off the afterburners going into the end zone. And from the Bengals, I haven't seen any sort of speed in their secondary that can slow him down. In the fact that because of him, you don't need a lot of intermediate routes, always a deep threat, but even with just a simple short route or something out of the backfield, he's gone. So expect Pittsburgh or expect Cincinnati to have to play a lot closer to the line when he's the targeted receiver. They've got to jam him any way they can.
Certainly. I mean, this guy's kind of similar to DeAndre Hopkins in a way. It's really hard to stop him. And especially with Cincinnati, they've had trouble covering many receivers this year, and I really can't look at one play on that defense that right away, immediately, in single coverage can stop Antonio Brown. There's not many cornerbacks in the league, if any, that have the ability to do that. You have to slow Brown down, but he really can do anything. He can do short routes, medium routes, large routes, fly routes. I mean, he can do anything. They use him in a lot of ways, and they're going to have to find a way to pressure Ben Roethlisberger, make him throw it other directions. And I don't even know if they can put a safety or something else to help, if that would even do anything. They have to find a way to slow him down, as Eric said, get him out of his normal routes, and try to see if they can hold him to a normal receiver's amount of yards, because we've seen this guy put up ridiculous totals of yards this year. It's going to be really hard for this team to stop him. However, they've played him twice this year. They know what he's like, and they get a chance at a third time tonight to see if they can slow him down.
So, again, I want you guys to give me one takeaway from each team in this game.
For me, my takeaway for Cincinnati, I'm looking to Marvin Lewis, yet to win a playoff game as head coach of the Bengals. And if Cincinnati doesn't do it, there's going to be, and there should be, in essence, calls for his head, calls for him to be gone. But if they don't win, what are the Bengals as an organization going to do? And for Pittsburgh, similar take is with Houston. Right now, they've got nothing to lose. Yes, because of the Steelers, because of Big Ben, because of Mike Tomlin, they are favored in this game, and they could easily make a run, especially with facing Denver again next week. So how are they going to play? Can they live up, and can they not so much shock the world, but just remind everybody, yes, big dogs in this division, and we're still one of the top teams in this conference.
I have the same exact takeaway for Cincinnati as Eric did. I mean, this team does so well in the regular season. They have so many times in the past couple years with Andy Dalton. He's not playing today. They have yet to win a playoff game in so long. They have the longest postseason drought right now, if they don't win tonight, they're facing a team that has no running back, and I'm not discrediting Pittsburgh. They're still a very, very good team. But it would just seem to me that Marvin Lewis, despite all of the regular season success, that there's no way that he's not going to get so much scrutiny, and maybe even his job is in serious jeopardy. So I am interested to see how Cincinnati performs without Dalton. This is the third time they're playing Pittsburgh. It's a divisional rivalry. So I'm interested to see how they play tonight in a playoff game, something that they've clearly been unable to do, unable to win in so long. And we're not going to see Boomer Esiason coming out like in the 90s. The last time the Bengals won a playoff game, George H.W. Bush was president. So it's been quite a while. So I'm interested to see how they do there. And for the Steelers, it's how they step up without a running game. I do not see them running a lot or at all. I mean, you're going to see Fitzgerald Toussaint, but I figure it to be very little. They've been decimated by injuries. Can they step up and can they prevail once again with another injury? Think about it. Le'Veon Bell is hurt for the season. Ben Roethlisberger was hurt for a good part of the year. And now Williams. I mean, they've been decimated by injuries. Can they come through again without basically a running game? They're going to have to throw a lot. You know, Toussaint and Jordan Todman will get some carries, but at the end, they're going to have to throw a lot. I'm interested to see how they play without a real running game.
Who wins and why?
To me, as much as I would like to see Cincinnati in their streak and give Marvin Lewis a leg up, Pittsburgh, they're rougher, they're tougher, they're willing to go ahead start fights. They have history even this season and the second time where they met where the team's gotten to a skirmish on the field. And I think Tomlin's going to find a way, even with what could be the emergence of the Terror Tees and Toussaint and Todman at running back. I see them taking this one and yet another close one, 23-13.
I agree with Eric. Despite their basically, you know, running game for the Steelers, I just don't think A.J. McCarron, and I'm assuming they're going to keep him as a game manager, they're going to run the ball a lot. I just don't think that's going to be enough. This is a divisional rivalry. They're going to have to take some chances sometimes. And I just don't think their conservative play style is going to be enough to beat this Pittsburgh Steelers team, that if they're in a shootout, they're going to win it. Despite not having a running game, really, they have enough weapons. They have a really dignified, experienced head coach, Mike Tomlin, to lead them. Despite really little running game, I think Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, the defense gets it done. They win a very close one, let's say 24-17.
I'm also picking Pittsburgh because I feel like this team can go deep in the playoffs. Big Ben, they have the history behind them, the 60s. I feel like Pittsburgh can go to the AFC Championship game and play in New England or Kansas City. So we didn't get to do this last week. So I'm going to ask you two now. We'll ask the other two either tomorrow or next week. Who do you have winning Super Bowl 50?
I am either going to sound like Nostradamus or someone that could easily be committed to an asylum, but there's one team that to me has the most revenge and is peaking at just the right time. My pick for Super Bowl 50 champion, the Seattle Seahawks.
That's a very good pick in my opinion. You know, it comes down, you know, you take a look. New England is always there, but they've been decimated by injuries. Do they have enough to come back? There's Carolina. They had the amazing 15-1 season. There's Seattle. There's Arizona. They had a disappointing end to the season, but they're still very good. And then you have the Broncos. I'm going to agree with Eric, and I'm going to pick the Seattle Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch, who practiced all week, is not going to play tomorrow, but I would assume sometime during the playoffs, if they do advance, that he will come back, so their running game will not have to rely on Bryce Brown anymore. They have their revenge from last year where the horrendous play call cost them a second in a row Super Bowl. I think they get it done. They just are coming off a blowout victory over the second-best team in the NFC and one of the best teams in the league in Arizona. And I think Russell Wilson and the team is just getting hot at the right time. And I think they have that revenge factor, and I think they're going to pull it off. Maybe we could see a rematch with the Patriots. I'm not sure, but I definitely believe that the Seahawks will be winning this Super Bowl.
I agree with you, Dylan. I think that it's going to be Seattle-New England rematch in Super Bowl 50. But I have New England winning this one because Tom Brady will always be Tom Brady. Over the past 15 seasons, he's had many different receivers, and every single year, since Brady was drafted in 2001, even in 2008, the Patriots have not had a losing season. So that the guys pick Seattle, I pick New England. We'll find out Josh is tomorrow. We'll find out Stephanie's next week. Tonight at 8, you can check out Dylan's show one-on-one with Clint Starling on Real Talk Miami Radio. We will be back to here tomorrow on the NFL Wildcard Pregame Show Day 2. We'll break down the Vikings, Seahawks, Redskins, Packers. Until then, Dylan Goldman, Eric Watkins, I am Stephen Ehr, and we will see you again tomorrow.